My name is Christopher Dahl, and I'm the archivist at the University of Dubuque. Today is April 3rd. The time is 10:40. Can you please say your name and spell it for the record?
Yeah, Michael Glynn, G-L-Y-N-N.
And Michael, what year did you graduate from the University of Dubuque?
I graduated in December of 76.
And what was your major?
Flight Operations and Aviation Management.
Can you please tell me a little bit about your childhood and your hometown?
Okay, I actually grew up in the city of Dubuque. Went to Dubuque Senior High School, and after high school, I went to Iowa Lakes Community College. After a year of the junior college, I ended up transferring to the University of Dubuque.
Can you remember what first sparked your interest in aviation?
Well, at the time, I had no idea what my major was going to be, so I took an aviation course as an elective, that being basic ground school and private pilot flight training, and been doing it ever since.
When you were a child, do you remember what you wanted to be when you grew up?
Not specifically.
But
that's a long time ago. Yeah. I can't remember that far back.
But you never had any memories like, I want to be a pilot, or...
No, not at all.
Can you remember, you know, watching planes take off and thinking, what a cool thing?
Or? Oh, certainly. But actually, I think the first time I actually flew in an airplane was here at the University of Dubuque.
I know we've already established that it was a long time ago, but do you remember who some of your role models were when you were younger?
Well, that's a hard one to say. Well, I guess I could start with my father. He was a very good role model, and as I was going through college, another role model I had at the time was the chief flight instructor at that time was Rod Ahrens, and he was an excellent instructor, and I looked to him for guidance.
Why did you decide to attend the University of Dubuque?
Well, I actually came here on a football scholarship after playing a year at a junior college. Had an opportunity to move back to Dubuque and play football here.
What position did you play?
I played middle linebacker.
And did you play the rest of your career at UD, or did you?
Well, unfortunately, I ended up injuring my knee, so I opted out of playing football and decided that flying was a little safer than playing football.
I guess.
At least on the body.
When you first entered the University of Dubuque, do you remember what your major was, or were you undecided?
I think I was undecided at the time. Perhaps business. I took a lot of business courses.
All right. And then you took an aviation course as an elective, and what do you remember what the course was?
Well, it was basic ground school.
Basic ground school.
It was, yeah.
And just learning the different aspects of aviation is what piqued your interest?
Yeah, absolutely. It seemed like a viable occupation. At the time, there wasn't a lot of jobs, but now it's quite the opposite.
When you were in that class, were the professors telling you, hey, this is a good major, this is a good career, you should join this major, or were they just treating you like any other student?
Well, just like any other student, but the professor at the time was Bob Ryder, who actually brought the program here to the university. And he was a very enthusiastic instructor. He brought a lot of stories from his days working at NASA and so on. So made it very interesting and intriguing.
So at that time, most of the students that were in the aviation department, did they come to UD to major in aviation, or were they like you, they were at UD and they got interested and they wanted to become...
Well, again, you'd have to check with admissions, but if there's any people around from back in those days, I don't know if they were actively recruiting for the flight program at the time, but it steadily grew in the ensuing years.
So Mr. Ryder sold you on, you know, taking this up as your major. Was it easy to explain this to your parents? Because I think my parents would be like, that's too expensive. You're not doing that. How did that conversation go?
Fortunately, my family was very accepting to that major, and they saw the benefits of having a son that's a pilot.
So when you took that ground school class, that was on campus at the University of Dubuque, right?
Correct. In Goldthorpe.
All right. Do you remember your first memory of the Dubuque Airport?
Well, it was quite different then than it is now. We occupied a small space at the end of one of the wooden tea hangars. That was the briefing area, if you will, for the University of Dubuque flight operations. And it those old tea hangars have long since been leveled, either by nature or by man. And facilities have improved tremendously at the airport, and we're looking forward to a new facility for the University of Dubuque in the coming year.
Good. What are some of the more memorable classes you took at UD?
Well, like I say, I took a lot of business courses, and I suppose some of those were quite memorable. I took a lot of sociology courses in my early years, not knowing where I was going to end up, but there was a gentleman at the time, Russ Nash. He was a sociology professor, and he always put on some interesting lectures.
Were there any other professors outside of Professor Nash that really inspired you?
A business professor back then, his name was Ralph Davenport. He was really trying to get me to join the business program.
Okay. So can you remember your first actual flight experience?
Well, I think my first flight experience was when the Navy came to the University of Dubuque when I was taking ground school, and they were trying to recruit pilots.
Okay.
So they actually took a number of us up in the airplane. It was in a T-38. So that was a memorable flight.
But I guess in the end that just helped sell you that,
that
you
just
wanted to be a pilot.
That just helped sell me. Yeah, I think I'll try this.
Do you remember your first solo flight?
Again, that was quite a while ago, but I think at the time my instructors had done such a marvelous job of preparing me, it wasn't really a nerve-wracking experience.
I know that now we have a lot of high-tech first-class flight simulators. When you were in school, did they provide flight simulators for you?
We had an old Frasca Model 100.
I don't know what that means.
It almost looked like a coffin, if you will. But it had the basic flight instruments, and it did the job just fine back in those days.
Would it hold water now?
Not for the advanced aircraft that we have today, no.
Yeah. Can you remember your first negative experience in a plane?
Oh, maybe one time there was a group of us flying out to Colorado for a mountain flying seminar, and we got into some pretty rough, it was actually clear air turbulence flying westbound, and I remember my head hitting the ceiling.
Oh,
so it was kind of a bumpy ride.
I know that
there's not a lot of head clearance inside the airplane to begin with, but you hit a pretty good bump like that, and if your seatbelt's not snug, you might
so even with your seatbelt you still hit your head.
Absolutely.
I thought you were being a rebel. And
no, you would have been bumping your head quite well, as tall as you are.
I know now the students have many opportunities to compete in competitions that go all across the nation. When you were at the University of Dubuque, did the UD flying team ever compete in competitions?
Yes. Actually, I recall competing in an Iowa air meet down in Boone, Iowa, and we eventually joined the National Intercollegiate Flying Association and ended up in regional competitions.
So what
back
kind of
back in the 70s and 80s.
Right. What kind of events did you participate in?
Well, they had accuracy landings, written exams, pre-flight competitions, and there was a simulator flying event back then as well.
Okay. Were you involved with Alpha Eta Rho?
Alpha Eta Rho.
Alpha Eta Rho. Were you involved with that?
Yes. Actually, in the early days, the flight team was actually members of Alpha Eta Rho. And sometime, I think, in the 80s, perhaps, the two groups split into separate organizations.
Do you have any memories from being a part of Alpha Eta Rho?
Alpha Eta Rho, sure. I was one of the charter members, and when we first got the chapter here in Dubuque. And in your archives here, I think you mentioned some trips that we went on visiting Chicago Air Route Traffic Control Center and some other communication bases.
And while you were a student, can you remember what the ratio of women to men were in the aviation department? Were there a lot of females in the department at that time?
There was a few. Again, what the ratio was, maybe 10-20%.
Right. So you had at least one in every class?
Yeah, yeah.
And do you think they were treated the same?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know what type of careers they went on to, or did you lose touch with them? Or?
Well, from my classmates, I've kind of lost touch with those folks, but there is one, I think, individual that's been involved in this project of yours, Tara, and I do recall her from the early years.
Most of the women that were in the aviation department at that time, were they on the pilot side, or were they getting more into the management side?
Well, I knew most of them on the pilot side, and I didn't know a lot of them on the management side.
All right, so after you graduated, what did you do?
I went to work for a private flight school. It's called Dubuque Aeronautical Institute, and I taught there for a year and a half or so before, and I did some charter work, Part 135.
Okay.
And then opportunity arose at the University of Dubuque, so I joined their program in December of 79.
All right, so how long have you been at the University of Dubuque?
Well, from 79 until 98. In 98, I left for a corporate pilot position with Crescent Electric in Dubuque, and then I came back to the university in fall of 03.
Right. And when you first came to the University of Dubuque, you were a flight instructor, right?
Correct.
While you were a flight instructor, were there a lot of other females that were flight instructors throughout those years?
When I was in the early years, no. I'm trying to recall back who the first female flight instructor was, and it may have been Polly Kadoff. I'm not for sure.
Okay. Well, we're interviewing her, so I guess we can ask her.
We can ask her. She may recall someone, you know, before her, but right. I can't recollect someone.
Throughout the years, have there been a lot of female flight instructors?
I think since the Polly days, if you we want to call it that.
Oh, she'll love to hear that.
Yeah, we I think we've always had at least one female on our flight staff.
All right. Have you ever heard of the Women in Aviation International?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Have you ever done anything with them, or have you encouraged people to join it, or what do you know about them?
Well, I know they have an annual convention every year, which is pretty popular with the students to visit.
Yeah.
It's usually in a nice, warm climate. Other than that, I haven't been involved with Women in Aviation.
Okay. From when you were here as a student to now, how have the numbers of women in the aviation department changed throughout the years? Has it grown? Has it stayed steady? Has it gone up and down?
Oh, I think it has grown slightly. And I don't think I've seen any cyclic movement. Maybe a steady growth.
Right. A steady growth is definitely healthy, but I think we'd both admit that, you know, there's still more men than women.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Do you think that the numbers are going to become more even, or do you think they are evening out, or do you think there's always going to be a discrepancy? Do you think there's going to be more men than women?
Well, that all depends on if the women want to get involved in our program.
Okay.
You know, if it's open to all people, so all right. Why not? It's not a typical occupation, you know, in the historical sense.
Yeah.
For women, but certainly I don't see why it couldn't be.
Well, the numbers are increasing. What do you think the numbers for the increase are then? Do you think maybe not you guys specifically, University of Dubuque, but do you think there's been more of an effort to recruit females into the aviation department or in the aviation world? Or
I think it's just part of the normal evolution of our industry.
Yeah. You've stated that when you were a student, you don't think the women were perceived any different. Do you think the perception of women in aviation has changed throughout the years?
No, I really don't.
All right. Have you seen a shift in focus on what the women in the aviation department are focusing on? Are they choosing different types of careers than when you were here?
Well, if they're in the flight program, their aspirations are to be professional pilots.
Yeah.
So I don't see any focus change with the women that have started the flight program. As far as the management side goes, I can't really answer that for you because I don't interact with those women as much.
After people graduate through the program, do you stay in contact with them? Of course not everybody. But
sure. Well, we stay in contact with them as much as we can. You know, they'll drop in and visit us and attend alumni events and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Because this program is focusing on the women in aviation, do you know what type of careers that the women pilots have gotten into? Are a lot of them going on to be commercial pilots, or a lot of them doing personal piloting? Or,
well, when they graduate from here, they are commercial pilots.
Yeah.
So in commercial aviation, you got different branches. You can branch into the airlines, mm-hmm. can branch into corporate, and what I've seen in the last couple of years is more of them are going towards the airlines, but we do have, you know, a pretty good contingency that's going the corporate aviation route as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few over the years that actually went military activity.
Yeah, we just spoke with Kylie Han
sure.
a couple days ago, and
she's still in the service?
Yes, yeah. She had just 3 more years left, but she's flying helicopters now.
Well, that's okay.
Well, since I brought up helicopters, we have a new helicopter program at the University of Dubuque. Can you tell us a little bit about the helicopters, or are you not involved with that very much?
Well, the only involvement I have is if we have to move them out of our way in the hangar.
Oh, so they're a nuisance to you.
No, not really. No, it's a growing program, and I hope it continues to grow.
Where do you see the plane program going from here? Do you think it's going to... You going to get more planes? You think you're going to shift your focus?
Well, again, a lot will depend on numbers. You know, if the student population increases, we have, you know, can add more airplanes, more instructors. But again, it's pretty much dictated by student class size.
And I know you're not into recruiting. You're not flying around, or maybe you are flying around trying to recruit students. Do you know if there's an emphasis being placed on trying to recruit women in aviation, or is it just whoever will come will train them?
Well, yeah, I think we're not actually targeting women. We're mm-hmm. just targeting pilots.
Yeah.
And again, whether it be man or woman, they're both going to occupy the seats in the airplanes, and they're both going to have the same training that's required.
So what are some of the things that the University of Dubuque is doing to target potential pilots?
Well, every year we have a presence at the EAA Oshkosh Air Venture, mm-hmm. which is visited by literally hundreds of thousands of people from all over the country and the world, for that matter. So we're out there showing our presence within the aviation industry, and admissions has been doing an excellent job recruiting for our program.
All right. I don't have any further questions. Do you have anything you want to add, or do you have any questions for us?
No, I think this is a great thing you're doing here. Let's continue.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.